Let us pray. God, in a touching time like this, a time of grief and sorrow, a sudden death of one of our young little lambs, Father, it has hurt. We have had tears together. And Lord, we're working through the emotions together. And we thank you that you are such a great God. We thank you that you care about us. And this was no surprise to you that it was time for Gianna, your lamb, to come home. And even though it was great joy for you, we're working together through the sorrow of the separation. Pray for the family, Jeff and Jan and the children, as they go through this time, through this service, and each one of us, grandparents, friends, neighbors, relatives, Lord, that your Spirit may minister to each one of us today in each individual way in our lives. And Lord, that you could receive honor and glory from our meeting together today as we lay the remains of our sister to Mother Earth. Go with each of our brethren as they share today, and Lord, give them the strength to be able to share your word in its purity. We thank you for caring about us, and thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that is with us as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome each of you to the memorial service today for Gianna Lee Hurst. To Jeff, Jan, Janisa, Ryan, Jeffrey, Joel, and Joshua, and the extended family, friends, we offer our condolences to each and every one that is touched by Gianna's passing. We welcome you to the memorial service today of our beloved daughter, Gianna Lee Hurst, who was born on September 23rd, 2002, and entered into rest, eternal rest, on Wednesday, March the 7th, 2018, leaving us as a family and church family and school friends, school family, and friends reeling with shock and tears as we grieve the loss together. We do rejoice together, and this is a blessed hope that we have today. In the midst of our sorrow and grief, that Gianna had accepted the Lord as her personal Savior and then was baptized at the Union Valley Mennonite Church on October the 16th, 2016, along with her sister Joelle and Derek Mayers. What a wonderful occasion that evening as we were together in the baptismal service. As hard as it is to give up Gianna, it is very comforting to know that she was ready to go this past Wednesday morning. In the twinkling of an eye moment, in her never-dying soul, went home to be with her Maker and Creator. And Psalms 116, verse 15 tells us, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And I already tried to visualize what that is like. You know, when a saint comes home, you know, what it really is like there when one comes home faithfully. Can you picture with me what it is like to receive his saints safely home, especially young children? This past Thursday, as we sat together, someone shared that Gianna was everyone's friend. It did not matter the age. And we can see by your presence today how true that statement is, that you are here, different ages. Also, Gianna was known to be a happy individual, happy, bubbly young lady. God's word tells us in Job 1:20-22 about a man named Job, how he lost seven sons and three daughters and his earthly wealth. And Job says in verse 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." We see how it affected Job. Verse 21 says, "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I like verse 22 here also. "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You know, as we face the sudden shock, you know, we do not want to sin, and we don't want to charge God foolishly. Yes, with the great loss of Gianna, God gave life, and God took her life. And together we do not want to sin and charge God foolishly for calling Gianna home at a very early age of 15 years old. We see in Job's response in 21b, it says that Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we say that through our midst of our sorrow? In our grief and sorrow, let us join together in worship and praise to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May each of us take a look at our spiritual life, making sure that we have proper relationship with God. And if we are called out of this life like Gianna was, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and meet our Jesus, where will we be? To us here at Union Valley Mennonite Church, in just a little over 10 years, God has called three of our younger people home, not including the older ones in between in them 10 years. But on January the 25th, 2008, Chelsea LeRae Burkholder was called home at the young age of 4 years old. Then on August the 1st, 2017, the Lord called home Alita Diane Histon at the age of 24 years old. Now on March the 7th, 2018, God called again one of our young people by calling home Gianna Hurst, home at the young age of 15 years old. We may ask why. What does God want to teach us? Well, with the loss in the last 10 years of some of our young people and now Gianna's death, let us worship reverently together. As each of our brethren take their place, and you have your bulletins here, and you take notes, the escrows here of the songs and their meaning there, if they're just one escrow or two escrows. And so we're going to start with the congregational songs led by Brendan Histon, and then Brother Steve Groff will have our devotions, and Bernal Burkholder Jr. will share the message, and then we will take it from there. Brendan, come and lead us.
Song. That is the blow.
Christian greetings to everyone gathered here today. I want to extend my deepest sympathy to the family. As we've gathered here, our hearts are heavy. With the loss of our loved one. Gianna loved life and she lived it to its fullest. You know, when she did something, she did it well. And she put her all into it, and she leaves a vacancy. But God knows all about it, and He understands how we feel. You can turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. I trust we can find comfort in these verses. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read verses 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We see in these verses here, God is the creator, and he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful. And, you know, in this life, we as human beings, we become weary, and we may even faint. But God is greater than all our limitations. And, you know, the load is heavy at sometimes. The load is heavy sometimes. And, you know, but God knows all about that. He knows exactly what we need. It says in verse 29 here, he says, he gives power to the faint. Also, one verse from Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Where would we go in a time like this? Who would we turn to if it wasn't for God? Psalms 91, verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe in this verse here, God is putting, he's inviting us to put his trust in him, to dwell in that secret place. Verse 4 of that Psalm 91 says, he shall cover you with his feathers. You think about, you know, as a mother hen protects her chicks from danger, and she cherishes them and keeps them warm, so God covers us and protects us as we put our trust in him. We serve an awesome God, and you know, his greatness has been since the beginning of time as we know time. Genesis 1 tells us clearly that, you know, God spoke and created. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. In this verse here, he talks about the vastness and the greatness of the universe. And yet, God is still interested in each one of us here today. And, you know, he knows each of us personally, and he cares about us. He cares about the details of our lives. You know, he knew when Gianna was born that she was going to live 15 and a half years. He knows all about it. And back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 there, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men, you know, the best of the young men will fall down exhausted when they realize the folly of trusting in themselves. Verse 31 there, he says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. He's talking about relying on God. In a time like this, God gives strength. And with that strength, we can soar like an eagle and continue on our journey close to God. Just a couple verses from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We have a promise here in this verse of peace as we trust in God, keeping our minds stayed on him, even in a time of adversity like this. In verse 4 there, we have the word trust again. And, you know, it's just to continue on to trust God through these tough times. You know, if we place our trust in the things of this world, we're going to be disappointed. It'll only last for a short time. But as we trust God, we realize he is forever. He is the rock of ages. a firm and lasting foundation to build our hope upon. Those that trust in God shall not only find in Him, but receive from Him everlasting strength. Strength that will carry them to everlasting life. May God be glorified.
Take your song sheet to There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer.
Greetings this morning in the name of our Jesus Christ, the one that understands our pain. The moment you receive the news that all is not well and life is so short, and when death takes the body, God takes the soul. Our mind holds the memories. Our hearts keep the love. Our faith lets us know we will meet again. What will we do without faith? For in these moments of heartache,
pain and memories, there is one that cares. Jesus is his name. And may you feel the love of Jesus encompass you today. Isaiah speaks of the one that understands our sorrows. Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus is the one that understands the real and deep pain of loss, of this great loss. But it's not that great. Yes, it is. But because we're children of God, we have a hope of eternal life. On Wednesday morning, March 7th, 2018, there was a special appointment that took place at an appointed place, with appointed individuals being appointed by God. At around 8:35 on Orwell Hill Road, I believe the heavens opened up and received the soul of our dear daughter, sister, friend, Gianna Hurst. Could it have been on that cloudy Wednesday morning that just maybe Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father, watching, waiting, and welcoming Gianna home? As it was in the case of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned for his belief in Jesus Christ, Stephen was given a vision. And that was, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Just possibly, Jesus was standing, welcoming Gianna home. God is not shocked or surprised as we are. So why wouldn't he be ready, standing, waiting, welcoming Gianna home? There is a scene that takes place often at our church. There's a certain group of girls after the church service at the back of the church. They exit to the foyer to shake hands with the pastors. There's usually three or more. On one side would be Gianna. In the middle would be Elena. She needs help to walk. On the other side, it was either Chantel, Laurel, or Michelle. We're going to miss that. She had a big heart. She cared for people. She loved being with people. The scene don't stop there, I believe. That is on this earth. Could you picture Jesus as he was welcoming Gianna home? Maybe there was two young girls in heaven also waiting. Chelsea Burkholder and Marlita Histan. After greeting our Lord and Savior, could you just picture the three of them skipping through heaven, touring the beauties that God has created for his individuals? How do I know? But heaven is real, and we are real in heaven. Our souls go to live there. Gianna was one of those active, fun-loving persons to be around. Friends loved being with her. In school, Gianna took her schoolwork as she lived life, excelling as she tackled it with vigor. Around the beginning of the year, new year, she was asked if she would be willing to teach the three first graders a lesson, social studies. Gianna needed some credits in teaching for a course she was taking. She took the job. She did it well. One of the first graders asked, "Who will take Gianna's place?" "No one can take her place." It didn't seem to matter playing soccer or running a race. She always put her all into it. In her young life, in her way, she lived for Jesus. What a testimony. Not so long ago, she was talking with her sisters, Janisa and Joelle, discussing some things, and she decided she would start reading through the book of Romans. Jeff and Jan, Gianna's parents, shared that with us. And she was currently doing that. I believe God took her home before she completed it. So in honor of Gianna and her zeal for living, I want to be sharing some things out of the book of Romans. Romans 4:8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." There is blessing and hope for the man whose sins are forgiven. There is hope in Jesus. Don't lose hope in the storms of death, pain, and grief. For when we are in the eye of the storm, you, O Lord, remain in control. When our hopes and our dreams are dashed, and my only hope is to trust you, I trust you, Lord, and say, it is well with my soul. You, O Lord, you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn and I feel like I'm adrift. You, O Lord, are my hope and my comfort when in the eye of the storm. Hebrews 6:19, beginning of the verse, says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." That is Jesus Christ. Thank God for that anchor. The pain of grief can be like a tunnel that we must pass through. But can we see a little light at the end of the tunnel? The little light at the end of the tunnel is joy, or the sun, we would say, maybe. The tunnel was long sometimes, dark, of pain, grief. But that little light is hope in Jesus Christ. The hope of Jesus Christ is the joy of faith in Jesus, having the assurance of salvation. Knowing that when we take our last breath, we also will be in the presence of Jesus and our loved ones. David in the Old Testament, in the passing of his young son, child, said, I can't bring him back again. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Are you ready to go? Do you have this hope, comfort, peace when in the eye of the storm? The hope and true blessing is what Romans 4:7 says. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There is hope in Jesus Christ. We rejoice amidst grief because we have the hope of the glory of God within. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We can't save ourselves because we're all sinners and we need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans also tells us that we are wretched men outside of Jesus Christ. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me? Who has delivered me? Jesus Christ. He's the one that can deliver us from our sinful ways, our humanity. Humanity is a state of being. It is where men are most miserable. That is, when they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And none are exempt. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We all must come before Christ, because we're all sinners. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope of eternal life. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no light, small light at the end of the tunnel. No hope in the eye of the storm. And no hope and no anchor when the sails are torn. Hope comes by surrendering to Jesus Christ, by giving our life to Jesus Christ, because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Surrendering our lives to God. God calls us to surrender our lives to His authority. Our opportunity to surrender is given when God calls us through the Holy Spirit. The calling is His part. Our choice is to say, God, I surrender my all to Jesus Christ. I give you my life. I give you my love. We fall on our knees at the foot of the cross in surrender, admitting, oh, what a wretched man I am. I need you, Lord. I need you. We as mankind, when we think of surrender, we feel like surrender means losing, but not with God. Surrendering is when we find victory. Surrendering is when we have an anchor when the sail is torn. hope in the eye of the storm, light at the end of the tunnel. Surrendering to Jesus Christ is actually finding victory in life. Surrendering leads to victory. We do that by confessing that we need a God, and that leads to victory and the hope of eternal life. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the roadmap to salvation. You know what? Nowadays it's the GPS to salvation. Comfort and peace and joy in the eye of the storm. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Falling on our knees in surrender, confessing and desiring God to be Lord of our lives is victory. Surrendering is not merely just verbal, but it needs to come from the heart. It needs to be something that is sincere. I love you, Lord Jesus. Please wash my sins away. Then the promise of God happens. Romans 10:11, 12, and 13. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A promise. We will be saved by surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. And the hope of eternal life. Romans doesn't stop there. Our life doesn't stop there. It continues on. And Jesus is saying, I want to create a work in you. I want to transform you. Living the transformed life. God in his love for mankind instructs us and makes it possible for us through his grace to live a transformed life. One of the pictures I seen at the visiting hours of Gianna was she was looking up at a lid with a cocoon hanging on it. Transformation. She was waiting for the butterfly. That's transformation. From a caterpillar, a worm, to a beautiful butterfly. That's what Jesus Christ does for each one of us when we surrender our lives to him. God takes our ugly scars of sin and creates a beautiful Christian individual. Romans 12:1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God does the changing. We surrender to him, and he'll do the changing. God wants to take our storms, our dark tunnels, and our broken sails and transform them into something beautiful that only he, God, can do in each one of our lives, as he will do in the lives of Jeff and Jan family. Transforming us as we surrender our lives to God. By allowing God to transform our life or your life, we will one day stand before our Savior with joy, our great God. Romans continues on, standing before God. We'll all one day stand before our Creator, and we'll all need to give an account. What did I do with Jesus Christ? What did I do with my life? The breath that life God has given me. Romans 14:10b. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us should give account of himself to God. As a child of God, we can face God with peace, joy, and the hope of eternal life. The opposite of eternal life is eternal torment. Are you ready to meet God today? God is all-knowing. We can take comfort in that. God wasn't taken by surprise. The unknown we fear at times as human beings. Someone has said, you don't need to be afraid of the unknown. It is unknown only to you, to us. God is well aware of where you are and of every step he is asking you to take. That's our God of comfort, all-knowing God that cares about you and I. A song. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, and peace without pain. God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a riverbed turbid and deep. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That's our God. May God bless you all for coming today. And may God especially give you, Jeff and Jan, family strength. May you feel his tender touch. May you feel his strength in the eye of the storm, his anchor in the unknown. And may his comfort carry you through the tunnel to the light. May God bless you.
Tomorrow.
thank each of our brethren for taking their place. Brother Brendan for sharing the songs here with us, and Brother Steve, the devotional. For those who may not know, Gianna was one of Steve's helpers in milking, and so she will indeed be missed there on the dairy farm also. And I want to thank also Brother Brunel for sharing in the message there. I'd like to read the obituary at this time. It's on the back of your memos here. No farewell words were spoken, no time to say goodbye. You were gone before we knew it, and only God knows why. Our hearts were broken on Wednesday, March the 7th, 2018, with the sudden and unexpected passing of our loving Gianna Lee Hurst, 15 of Rome, Pennsylvania. Gianna was welcomed into our hearts on September the 23rd, 2002, the daughter of Jeffrey L. and Jan Eve Martin Hurst. She was currently in the 10th grade at the Union Valley Christian School and was a member of the Union Valley Mennonite Church. Gianna had a great zest for life. She had a great love for animals, enjoyed playing the piano, and was a friend to all those she met. She will be greatly missed by her parents, Jeff and Jan Hurst, her siblings, Janice and Nicole Hurst, Jeffrey Austin Hurst, Joelle Deanne Hurst, and Joshua Leonard Hurst. Her maternal grandparents, Leonard and Violet Martin of Maristown, PA, paternal grandparents, Daniel and Mary Jane Hurst of Maristown, PA. Her aunts and uncles, Marlon and Lisa Sysett of Imrod, New York, John and Beth Schaefer of Wilmersdorf, PA, Stephen Krista Ash of Lancaster, PA, and Mike and Becky Fox of Kinzer, PA, Dan and Sarah Hurst of Lititz, PA, Lisa Hurst of Maristown, PA, Lori Hurst of Maristown, PA, and Larry and Dawn Stoffer of Bethel, PA, Lena and Amanda Hurst of Bethel, PA, and Daniel and Angie Snader of Maristown, PA, Joey and Michael Hurst of Bethel, several great aunts and great uncles and 24 cousins, and of course they had the visitation yesterday and the funeral today here. So she will be laid to rest in the Darlin Cemetery. And if you'd like to have memories shared, you have the information there. Also in your bulletin here, I'd like to read the thank you. Words cannot fully express our gratitude and indebtedness to our families, church families, friends, and community for all your love, prayers, and support through the last few several days. What a blessing to belong to God's family and experience His love through His children. We pray that the Lord would reward each of you as only He can do for all you have done. The Lord gives and the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't understand God's will in calling Gianna home, but we would like to share with you a dream God gave to Gianna's grandpa, Martin, that was confirmed to us that it was His will. A few days before the accident that took Gianna's life, I had a short dream. I was standing in a field with a sheep beside me. It was leaning against my leg, and a voice said, "You must come." And the sheep sat down. I reached down and picked it up. I remembered that the wool was very thick and soft. The voice of Jesus called again and said, "It is time to come." So I picked it up the second time and said, "You must go now." The sheep walked on, and I awoke. I didn't think much about that dream at that time. But the night after Gianna was taken from us suddenly, I understood that God was telling me that one of His sheep was being called home. Jeff, Jan, Janisa, Jeffrey, Joel, and Josh. Thank you, Grandpa Martin, for sharing that. You're all seeing your bulletin also. The family welcomes you to a meal following the interment, which will be served at Larray's Will Hall and 27 Church Street, Larray's, PA. If you prefer not to attend the interment, you may go directly to the meal. And if you don't know how to find it, ask somebody that is acquainted up here, and they will help you to get there. So we're asking that. We'd like to give a little direction now. If you're not going to the graveside, please wait till the funeral procession is left. Also, if you're traveling with the funeral procession, please stay close together. Stay alert, stay awake. Put your lights on. Use your four-way flashers. Follow through stop signs and traffic lights. Keep up with the next one. Just do it cautiously as you go through there. Also, on your way out, you will see these here orange signs. Pick them up and put them on your mirror with this showing forward. Also, in doing that, you will find in the rear also a song sheet that goes along to the grave. If you're going to the grave, pick that up, take it along, because there will be a number of songs that we will be singing over there. For the funeral procession, please wait till you're directed to go, to leave, to get in line. There were those that will be telling us when to go. Also, for the pallbearers, we'd like you to remain in the foyer to help to load the body. This time, we're again want to wish our condolences to the Hearst family and all those who have come, family, friends, however you're connected. And at this time, we would like to have prayer. We are also going to have prayer for the noon meal. It's going to be a little hard to get us all together, because some may have eaten already and some may not, only getting there. So we're going to have that prayer, and then just feel free to get your dinner and just eat. I think that is all our announcements. Did I miss something? All right. We'd like to have that prayer. Maybe we could just stand for that prayer reverently. God, we thank you for this day that thou has given to us. Yes, a beautiful Monday, but Lord, our hearts are heavy today. As we're gathered together as friends and family to lay the remains of our sister to Mother Earth, where it talks about dust thou art till dust thou returns. And today we do that. And Father, we just thank you for each one. We just pray, Lord, for Jeff and Jen and the family as they go through this time and the days here on out. Lord, there is going to be adjustments. There will be an empty seat. There will be a vacancy. There is one missing here in this life. Not coming to the supper table, not going along to school, not going along to church. But Lord, we thank you for her life, her testimony, her zest for life, and living it to the fullest. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. And we thank you, and we just pray for safety as we travel over to the graveside, to the cemetery to lay our sister's body to rest. Give us safety. May the other drivers be courteous as we travel and understanding. Lord, we know we live in an impatient world. A hurry get here and a hurry get there. So, Father, I just pray for safety. Pray for Brother Mel as he shares over there. And then as we have a time of closing the grave together, a time of closure in this part of this life here. And then as we enjoy the food together, we just thank you for the food and the bodies of the earth, that it can nourish our bodies, that we continue to serve you faithfully till you call us home. And may your blessing be upon the food and each one that is partaking of it and those who have prepared it, and that everyone would just come and enjoy the fellowship together this afternoon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, our funeral director, Jody, will come and prepare for the last viewing, and our ushers will take charge.